And before we get into the lesson, obviously we live and breathe for seeing people give their life to Jesus. Well, we are obviously closing out our series all about real happiness, and we've got a few other sort of bits and pieces for the rest of the service. So I'm not going to go into a whole summary of what we've spoken about, but if you are visiting for the first time, please, the sermons are available on CD. You can download them from our website. But I think it has been a great time to look at some very challenging thoughts and very challenging topics in the scriptures. And have a look with me in Matthew chapter 5. It's a sort of a little bit of a funny sort of theme today, because on the one hand, we're closing out the Beatitudes. On the other hand, it's kind of, there's a Christmassy feel and the kids are going to be on stage just now. The problem with that is the Beatitudes end off talking about persecution. And there's just sort of a little bit of a mismatch, you know. I'm a sort of when it comes to these things, a bit of a guy's guy. And I just want to tell you all about how the early Christians were thrown to the lions and what it looked like and what it must have felt like. But that's not really going to work for sort of Christmas. So we're gonna take a little bit of a different spin on things here. Holiday season is a great time, isn't it? There's just something about being able to take a little bit of time out, go on a little bit of a holiday, hang out with your family, and just sort of wrap up the year and get refreshed for a new year. It's kind of like sort of, just to be able to sort of almost push reset on your life and say, okay, the good and the bad of 2010, that's behind us. Let's look forward to 2011 and all that promises. Now, I don't know, just to get an idea, how many of you are taking even just a little bit of time off work over December? Okay, looks like most of you. Well, that's good, because we are going to be talking a little bit about holiday, and it would have been a bit embarrassing if no one was going on holiday. Most of you, it seems, are taking even a little bit of time off work. It's a time when the kids are on holiday. You get to hang out with them a little bit. You get to maybe sleep in a little bit longer than usual. If you've been good, Santa might visit you on Christmas Day. I don't know how that works in your home. But in Matthew 5, verse 9, the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Blessed are those who make peace. Now, I don't know about you, but as much as sort of holiday time, Christmas time is supposed to be a peaceful time, it's not always like that in my family. I don't know, how many of you, again, just to get an idea, I'm hoping it'll be most of you, are going to be spending a little bit more time with your family and your extended family over the next 2 weeks than you usually do during the year. Okay. Now, if you're anything like me, that sort of comes with a lot of promise, but it also comes with a few complications. Because family has an amazing way to get under your skin. And it is just sort of a funny effect that they have. They can certainly cause you to feel embarrassed about certain things. They can draw you into gossip about other people. It's hard to say no to family sometimes. Even when they're asking you to do things that you know are not right, it's tempting to feel critical. It's tempting to feel lazy and to sort of expect to be to serve. And all of those things, that's just me. And that's just some of the temptations that I have. I don't know what it's like for you, but I do know that there are, certainly over the next couple of weeks, there are going to be some temptations coming your way. And I haven't even spoken about the in-laws. I mean, there's just a whole set of rules. There's a whole Bible worth of rules when it comes to sort of how things work with the in-laws. And, are we spending too much time with your family? No, we're spending too little time with my family. And it can be very complicated. I don't have that problem. I love my in-laws. We get on very well. So just in case you thought I was complaining. But even if you're not going to see your family this December, that also has its own set of complications. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's just sort of feeling a little bit left out. Maybe it brings up maybe negative thoughts or negative emotions. It's got its own set of issues. And I love family, and I love my family. And one thing I know for sure, I didn't know this before, I know it now, is all of those complications and temptations actually has nothing to do with them, and it's got a whole lot to do with me. Because they are who they are. And what gets brought up from inside of my heart is nothing more than who I really am. And it just so happens that a whole lot of my sin gets exposed during the holiday time and during family time. And I remember my first holiday as a Christian. Fairly recently, before this, given my life to Jesus, given up everything, made some radical decisions in my life. My friends in Cape Town didn't know who I was anymore. And I went on my first holiday to go and visit my family and my parents up in Johannesburg. And I wasn't married yet. It was just me. And just like I would do in Cape Town, on holiday, I would wake up early and I would spend some time reading my Bible and praying. Now, my parents weren't so comfortable with that to start off with, and they didn't necessarily say anything about it. But there was this sort of awkwardness, like, boy, where is my laser around the house, weed-smoking son? What have you done with him, and what is this Bible that you brought into our house? And it was a sense of concern, that strange thing that happens, and I know it's happened to a lot of you, where you say, "Hey, cheers, mom and dad, I'm heading off to Bible talk." And when you said, "I'm heading off to go nightclubbing," they're like, "Yeah, go, son," like a dad would. Now you're going off to Bible talk. It's like, "Whoa, let's just don't get too extreme. Don't get carried away with these kind of things." And there's just a funny dynamic that can go on at home. Now, I know for some of you who have recently become Christians, that might be more of a reality. Others of you who've been around a long time, your families are used to your strange way of life, and they kind of got used to some of those things. But for me, one of the things that this was a long time ago, I still go through to this day, is a real temptation to want to almost blend in. If that makes sense. That feeling of, and this goes right back to those early days where I didn't really want to rock the boat. I didn't want to cause awkwardness in my family. I didn't want to cause them to feel uncomfortable. And there was a real temptation there to compromise. To kind of feel like, okay, around church, I feel strengthened. I feel invigorated. I feel ready to make tough decisions if I need to. But kind of around family, no one else is looking. And even on a bad spiritual day, I still look a whole lot better than I did before. So it's sort of the temptations are really there. And there are hundreds of scenarios that I have faced, and I know many of you have faced as well. Temptations to maybe drink a little bit more. Are you there? And I don't know if it works like this in your family, but there's always like an uncle who you just find it so hard to say no to. They're just sort of charismatic and, James, and hug, hug, and just have another beer. And you're like, no, thank you. Oh, don't be silly, have a beer. And, when you say no, they sort of look at you all. There are just lots of scenarios like that. Jumping into gossip, sitting around the table about Auntie Susie's new boyfriend. And have you actually met him? And don't you think, blah, blah, blah. It's just so easy to go down that road, isn't it? To sort of get camouflaged and to become, to become the old you. And Jesus doesn't give this blessing to those that keep the peace. He gives this blessing to those that make peace. And there's a difference between those two things. And this December, I want to remind you that there is a difference, and it is a very important difference, between you going into some of those family scenarios with the heart of, let me keep the peace, versus let me go into those scenarios as a follower of Jesus here to make peace. And basically the difference is that a peacekeeper is someone who shies away from the controversy, who shies away from the conflict, shies away from taking a stand for what is right. And sort of the quieter I can be, the more I can avoid these kind of scenarios, the less waves, and the happier we'll all be. And that's a mindset that I've certainly had to work on a lot in my own Christian life in general, and especially at home. And it's easy to forget that being a Christian is controversial. And if you're not being controversial, there's a good chance that you're not really living like a Christian. Because taking a stand on what is right is a separation from what the rest of the world does. And it makes them feel uncomfortable. And if they feel uncomfortable, then you're going to feel uncomfortable. And there's going to be an awkwardness. And it's in those scenarios that Jesus doesn't want us to be peacekeepers and keep quiet, but to be peacemakers and make sure that we stand up for what we believe. We'll talk a little bit more about that now, but I want to show you a video on what the heart of a peacekeeper is. Okay? It's not a video about Sunday lunch or Christmas dinner, but I think you'll get the point. Have a look. Okay, now we could have a whole parenting seminar on what kind of teenagers are being produced here. But isn't that you sometimes? In scenarios, I'm not talking about the baby you, but maybe it's the baby you as well, and I can certainly relate to the guy. But isn't that you sometimes twisting and turning and bending over backwards, trying to keep the peace? And you know what? There are just certain scenarios where you just can't do that. You can't do that and call yourself a godly man or a godly woman. There are certain scenarios that come up where you have just got to take a stand on righteousness. And I'm not talking about picking a fight. Okay, this is Christmas and we need to kind of, you know, be loving and kind and warm. But there's a difference between being loving and kind and warm, and being flimsy on your convictions, versus being loving and kind and warm, but being a man and a woman after God's own heart. And I think I want to, encourage you, call you, challenge you. The next few weeks, stand up for what you believe in. You don't have to morph into who your family wants you to be, or who your friends want you to be. That it is important, it is necessary that as Christians, we stand up and we make peace. That making peace sometimes involves a little bit of spark. But in the long run, there is certainly more joy to be had in your home and in your family when there's honesty around than when there's dishonesty and deceit and hiding. And it is to those who make peace, that Jesus is saying in this scripture that you will be called sons of God. But that's not the end of the story. Because as many of you know, taking a stand on righteousness isn't always met with applause, is it? It's not always met with, oh my goodness, I really respect you for taking such a stand. Happens from time to time. But certainly if you're in a group of people and they're all gossiping and you say, listen, I don't think we should talk about them that way. Whoa, what are you saying about me? It can kind of put you on the outside. And I think I've heard some great stories, but I think one of my favorites is Mike. Where's Mike? Is Mike here? There's Mike. Many of you might have heard this before, a story that Justin Renton tells of his dad, who once upon a time was not sitting in church, and he is now, thank goodness. But Justin would be going off to church or to Bible talk, and his dad would say, what are you off bothering God again? And I think that, there is just no way to get around it. Taking a stand for what is right is going to cause a little bit of confusion and a little bit of chaos in your family. And to this day, I still get bugged by my family. Who have you recruited lately for your church? All sorts of questions about what we believe and what we think. And usually it's from the most religious of people that have the strangest and the toughest comments to make. And Jesus reminds us in the next verse here that it's okay to have a little bit of persecution. It's okay if someone has got something to say, something about you that's not even true and doesn't even sound nice. Listen, Matthew 5 verse 10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I don't know about you, but sometimes it can feel a little bit weird standing up for what's right. You know it's right, but you go and do it anyway, and it feels a little bit uncomfortable, feels a little bit weird. But you know, we should not be the ones feeling weird. We should be feeling confident about standing up for what is right. And even if all other eyes look at you with that judgmental, horrible look, we should be proud that we have the character and the conviction to take a stand on important things. And it is a blessing to those who do the right things to have people, as the scripture says, insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of Jesus. It says it is a blessing. It is a good thing. And your family might find it weird that you take a different view of Christmas. And I know, certainly Christmas and how you celebrate Christmas is a disputable matter. But if you don't believe that that was the day that Jesus was born, some of your family might think you're a little bit strange and have things to say all about you. Mine certainly does. They might have things to say about you walking away from ungodly conversations, excusing yourselves from ungodly TV shows that everyone's watching. And I want to encourage us as a family, let's stand strong during the next couple of weeks. Let's not have this as a time where we compromise, where we sort of come back in January, sort of, you know, feeling all cobwebbed up because we allowed things to slip. Let's stand strong as a family over the next couple of weeks, and let's come back in January strong as a family. And when the persecution does come, and if you do take a stand, it will, then let's be happy about it. Let's rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Now that's a Christmas present. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, if you run into trouble this December because of your beliefs, you join a line of prophets and great men and women of God who stood up for what they believed in. And Jesus says, when you take a stand and you get persecuted, you join this group of people who have done great things and who have stood up for what is true and what is right. And to close out here, there is one final beatitude. Now, it's not in all the translations, and I know most of you have a slightly newer translation, so it won't be there, and I sort of debated whether or not to include it because it's not in, you know, sort of most of the standard translations. But if you have a look in your footnotes, you might not even, might not even find anything there. But the New James Version closes off that verse, and it reads as follows. "Blessed are those who get a good rest over December, because better will their next year begin." And I think to close out, and I don't know if this really came from Jesus or not, or it's just in one of those funny translations, but, and please don't record this. I'm kidding. But whether you're taking a couple of weeks off, whether you're just taking a couple of days off, I want to command you, get some rest. Take it easy. Take a little bit of chill time to recharge. And even God himself took some time out to rest, did he not? After a busy week of creating the universe, the Bible says that he took a break. Elijah in 1 Kings 19, he'd been through a tough time. What did God do? He gave him some food and some sleep. He said, you just need to recover some energy and catch up on a little bit of sleep. You can ask any gym instructor, they will tell you this, that your recovery time is as important as your gym time. Any stress management expert will tell you that you need a break from time to time. And those principles apply to us spiritually as well. That it's often in the downtime, in our rest time, that we grow the most. That we experience so much of what we've been working for during the year. And I think next year holds a lot of promise. I think we are going to get started with a bang, the mission seminar. If you haven't already booked those dates, I've mentioned this before. It's been mentioned a couple of times. Do whatever it takes to be there. 14th to the 16th of January. It's going to be a great time, and that's where we're going to be sort of charting our course and setting off in the new year. But finally, use the next couple of weeks to have some sacred times with God. Whatever that means for you, to be intimate with God, to have a little bit of connecting time, but go for a walk on the beach, just you and God. Talk about the year. Have it out with Him. If you journal, write down some thoughts, write down some lessons. Maybe you've been so busy that there's been a book on your mind that you've been thinking, oh, I must read, this book on discipline, or, my husband or wife has been bugging me to read A Prideful Soul's Guide to Humility, or the library is open. Read that book. Use some extra time to get stuck into your Bible. It's just a wonderful time, just without the pressure of work and chaos, to be able to just take a couple of hours out and read the Bible the way that you would love to read it every day, but sometimes life kind of squeezes it out of you. And pray together as a family. Have some time as a family. It depends on how old your kids are and what have you. Have some time as a family to think about the year gone by and to talk about all the things that you're grateful for and that God has done in your lives. And remember that the greatest rest is promised in Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That is where the greatest rest is promised. And it'll always be promised through Jesus. And so in the next couple of weeks, amongst the busyness of family, amongst the chaos of Christmas lunches and dinners and Boxing Day lunches and New Year's party, amongst the temptations and amongst the persecution, let's stay close to God. Let's lay the burdens of the year on Jesus, and let's look forward to what God has in store for us as a family in 2011. Amen. Why don't we close with a word of prayer?